Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Into the 8 o'clock hour we go. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. I'm looking up at the TV, Seth, and they have their fantasy football marathon going on ESPN right now.
I watched some of that yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah. Watching television, watching ESPN's hard because there's whole, like, the amount of content you get between commercials and everything is not that much.
Yeah, the screen is very busy too.
Yeah. And I'm just so spoiled by like being able to watch exactly what I want to watch on the internet. Like if I want to watch a little fantasy football segment, I can just sit down and watch it for 5 minutes on my computer instead of like waiting for them to get to it on television.
Yeah, and so the I'm looking up here, and so the fantasy football marathon is going on. They're running their regular programming, but on the crawl across the bottom and on the grid down the side, it's all fantasy football rankings, right? Yeah. And by the way, we have our fantasy football forum coming up in a couple of days. If you won tickets to it, looking forward to seeing all of you here on Thursday night. But they're going alphabetically through the teams along the bottom of the screen. What's so funny?
I'm just remembering the debacle they had like 3 years ago when they decided to do it like an auction. And
ESPN.
It was a bad look.
Yeah.
It was a really bad
poorly
look.
Poorly planned.
So this is better. I'll take the busy screen on the ticker tape and
Well, they're going alphabetically through depth charts and stat projections for all 32 teams.
Yeah.
They just went through the Texans. They're on the Colts right now. They're going alphabetically by city.
Okay.
They just went through the Texans. Their projection for Deshaun Watson passing yards this year is 3,939 yards.
3,900.
And 39
yards.
He's
going to come down with scurvy or something.
Well, that's my question.
The way?
If Deshaun Watson throws for 3,939 yards, what kind of season did the Texans have?
I guess the only optimistic view you could have of that is that somehow like Bill O'Brien decided to go the Baltimore route and just run.
And they were leading in a lot of games.
Yeah, that would mean they were leading a lot of games, and that somehow then it ended up being okay. I would say if he throws for fewer than 4,000 yards this year, I'm guessing that means that they win 7 games.
I'm guessing it means he got his lungs pulverized again.
I mean,
I'm guessing it means he misses actual games.
He threw for 4,165 yards last year, and I think they were more run heavy than ideally they'd want to be or they'd really like to be.
Yep.
And Deshaun Watson was injured for part of that, but just given I know O'Brien gets real. He doesn't like when people bring up that a schedule is harder or easier. But, like, frankly, there's no way to look at this schedule and think that it's not going to be a lot harder than it was last year. And if Deshaun were to only throw over 3,900 yards versus this group of quarterbacks, like, many of these quarterbacks, even if the Texans' defense is good, are going to have some big games versus the Texans, like,
yeah,
in terms of yardage and everything. And Deshaun Watson's going to have to keep pace. Like, they're going to have to outscore some of these teams. It's not going to be just leaning on the defense. Then, yeah, if he doesn't throw for over 4,000 yards, they definitely have less than an 8-8 record.
I think it means he got hurt. I think that's the only way he, against this schedule, I think it's a great point by you, Seth, against this schedule, against which I've said multiple times, I've said throughout the offseason, they're going to be in a ton of shootouts this year. I think this could be a really, really fun season to watch Texans football, and they could wind up 7-9 because they're going to play in a bunch of games that I think are going to be shootouts against these quarterbacks, and I don't know how many of those games that they're going to win necessarily. I think the only way Deshaun throws for under 4,000 yards is if he's injured, is if he misses 2 or 3 games, because against this schedule, it's imperative. He's going to have to be in a bunch of just shootouts, just a bunch of aerial circus parades, man.
What if he throws for less than 4,000 yards and it's not because of injury? Like, I could see it, then it means completely and totally being possible.
Then it means they traded for Trent Williams.
Okay.
Because it means they're lining up and running the football and they're leading in a bunch of games. And it might even mean that they traded for a cornerback as well.
But what if they're just that bad at passing, though? Like, that they didn't trade for Trent Williams. It is just the offensive line is that bad. And that maybe Deshaun doesn't get hurt, but the receivers get injured.
Yeah, the receiver injuries might be. Because I think he would have, what'd you say, threw for 4,165 yards last year. I think if Will Fuller stays healthy, he's probably up in the 4,300, 4,400 range.
Uh-huh.
If he's under 4,000 yards and he's healthy all year long, then, yeah, it's either massive injuries to the receiver position. I think even with this offensive line, if the receivers are healthy, they're going to score points and move the football.
I would take the over on that. If that's the over-under on Deshaun Watson, if 3,900 yards or whatever is the projection, I would definitely take the over based on really just one thing and one thing alone. Last year, he was extremely careful with the football. After not being that careful with it early in the year, he got extremely careful with it to the point where he was in the top 10 in interception percentage. Even after having a little bit of a rough start, he got so good at it that I think he's going to loosen that up a little bit. He's going to learn when to appropriately take risks, when not to take risks. Something I've noticed in practice so far this year is that Deshaun, and I think this makes onlookers nervous sometimes, Deshaun is very comfortable not being good in practice, which is a good thing. Like Aaron Rodgers is very comfortable not being good in practice because he wants to learn the limits of what he can and can't do. And last year, it made me very nervous when I would see Deshaun not performing that well in practice. This year, I think I recognize a little bit more of what he's doing, which is really just trying to get a feel for where the envelope is on things. Like just how far can you push it? Which throws can I make? Which throws can't I make? You know, when... How do you really run this offense? I think Deshaun's much more of a tinkerer. And like that sounds like I'm making excuses for bad practices or something. It's not at all, because I saw the exact same thing last year. It's just his MO. It's really a sign of confidence. So I say all that to tell you this. I think he's going to take more chances with the football in a good way than he did last year. It's going to be a little bit freer and a little bit looser, and that means more production.
So somewhere in between what he was doing recklessly in the first six games and what he was doing maybe being overly conservative in the last 10 games.
Yeah, and you'll see the time to throw come down a little bit, the ball come out of his hands a little faster, more consistently. I still think he's going to hold on to the ball longer than most quarterbacks, which is fine. Russell Wilson does that.
Sure.
But he's going to be a little bit more efficient with it.
Payne and Pendergast with you here, Sports Radio 610. So, Seth, when you were gathering in fellowship with some of your former teammates and some former Texans following practice yesterday, all of the, I'm going to use the phrase again, the Texans legends were out there yesterday.
Yeah.
How much do the guys, when you guys are all out there and you're talking to each other, all the retired players, do you commiserate that you didn't have a quarterback like Deshaun Watson when you were playing for the Texans?
Oh,
did his name come up at all while you guys were out there?
Not at all. I wanted to talk to Mike Quinn about it a little bit because he's a quarterback, obviously. Yeah. He still works with kids like doing some quarterback coaching, runs a 7-on-7 league. So I talked to him a little bit about Deshaun Watson. But other than that, no, I don't know if you tell stories about stuff, but there's not a whole lot of like, oh, I wish we had this guy, or I wish we had that guy. Plus, I don't know. Maybe that's not, that just doesn't come up a lot.
That's where you need somebody like me out there.
Yeah.
Just as somebody, just like a hanger on, just hanging out, just sort of listening in, going, man, what? And I point over at Deshaun. I'm like, man, wouldn't you guys like to have had that guy as your quarterback?
Because then
and
it
just gets you going.
That turns into like, yeah, we're going to sit here and bag on David Carr or something.
I know.
It'd
be awesome.
Because you know what? You know who David Carr would have liked to have instead of me? Reggie White.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? Sit here and like act like, oh, yeah, if only we'd had 22 of the best players who ever lived out there. Boy, we really could have accomplished something. But that's, it's a real damn shame, isn't it?
I'm closer to a fan than being obviously a player. That's how we think. We're greedy, Seth. That's how we think. So what did you talk about when you were with your guys yesterday?
I was just like, you know, I've never really, this is the first time I ever sat down and talked to Emobi Okoye, which was interesting because Emobi Okoye was like, he was drafted right after I was cut that year because Rick Smith cut me and he said, hey, we want to go with age or with youth. And I was like, all right, whatever. And then they go and draft a 19-year-old. And I thought, oh, okay, that makes perfect sense.
He's flaunting the youth.
He's a 19-year-old rookie. So I never really knew Emobi Okoye's whole story about how he came to be a 19-year-old rookie in the NFL. So he was telling me about, you know, in Nigeria, his mother was the headmaster at this school. And because he was always around at school, he just kind of started doing the schoolwork when he was like 2.5 years old. And he
next
just
thing you know, he's 2 years ahead of
everybody. He was a freshman in college when he was like 11 or at high school when he was ridiculously young.
Yeah.
And then, or I guess 12 or 13, I don't know when. And then he was a freshman in college when he was 16. So he was ridiculously young. That's why it's so funny when they used to have these arguments about Maurice Claret, like, well, could a 19-year-old actually make it in the NFL? Yeah. Like guys have done it before.
Right.
Jackasses like Maurice Claret can't make it at 19, but like a guy like Emobi Okoye could make it at the age of 19. There was a center for the Chargers that was, I can't think of his name. He was an all-pro, and he was a rookie at 19.
I think Hopkins was 20 when he came into the league.
Yeah, yeah. If you're really, really physically talented and gifted and mature, you can do it.
So, but now, obviously, long-term, it didn't work out for Amobi Okoye here.
Right.
But he is, so he Houston is home?
But he also had a, like a stroke. He had an aneurysm.
When he was with the Cowboys.
Right, yeah. That was ultimately what
I overheard him talking to Mark Berman at practice yesterday, and he... I was totally eavesdropping, but I, you know, they were talking at a more than a room level voice, so I didn't feel like I was sticking my head in a private conversation. He said he's 100% healthy now.
Yeah,
Amobi Okoye.
And he's just like, I think he just turned 30. He's still ridiculously young.
Yeah,
he's like,
yeah, he's got his whole life got his whole life ahead of him.
So
here.
Andre Hale was out there too, and that was cool just because see, like Justin Reed came over and was like talking to Andre Hale like during practice because they were teammates like 4 months ago.
Yeah.
So that part was pretty cool. And then just a lot of guys, I think, you know, having so many former Texans on the coaching staff, it was cool for a lot of the younger guys to be able to just
still... any scuttlebutt?
Like how so? Like like
about players on the team, guys. It's,
yeah,
I
can't give you like
nothing. I'm not saying like their love lives or anything like that, but like is there any, you know, any player, any of these assistant coaches that are on there now gushing about any of the players or anything?
TJ Yates was very impressed with Max Scharping. Okay. Like very, very impressed with both the rookies. He was both and I just ended up talking to him about Max Scharping because I had just interviewed Max Scharping on Sunday.
Right.
But TJ was like gushing about how intelligent Max Scharping is. And this wasn't like TJ talking to the press or anything. It was just kind of talking to Wade and I casually about just like how ridiculously smart the kid is. Like beyond any other player he's ever seen or anything. Which I guess thinking back to my interview with him, like I wouldn't have picked up on that immediately, but he did come off as really, really mature to me. For like, it seems like Max Scharping's got it figured out what he wants to do. And then he was very high on Titus Howard too. We just happened to be talking about Max Scharping.
Does TJ like working with the offensive line?
He does. And I was telling TJ, you got to stick with this offensive line stuff, because I was thinking just in terms of being a position coach, offensive line coaches are getting really starting to get paid, because you take these guys. Like, what do all these coaches complain about with offensive linemen these days? That they come out of college and they're not ready to play in the NFL. A lot of them haven't even been in a three-point stance in their career in high school or college. So teams that have good offensive line coaches, they're like worth their weight in gold, because they can take a guy, they can take five guys, five starters, and turn them into something more than other teams would be able to do. So if you're a really good offensive line coach, you're in charge of almost 50% of the starters on that team. 5 out of 11 starters are offensive linemen. That's a big deal, and teams are starting to pay for that. But then also, because I think TJ would like to be a coordinator and maybe a head coach or something along the way, he would have a pretty unique perspective in terms of a guy that spent his career in a quarterback's room, then learns from the offensive line side of things.
Yeah.
And Wade and I talked about this. One of the hardest things that a lot of these like little wunderkinds, like these 35-year-olds that they're hiring all over the place, they're awesome at Madden. They're awesome at the X's and O's in the passing game and everything, but a lot of times they don't have a clue about what's actually practical and what you can pull off and like what how it actually works at ground level. TJ's going to have a really good basis for understanding all of that.
You gave him, if TJ's listening, I'm going to give him some advice right now. Yeah. Go have lunch with Sean McVay. If you have lunch with Sean McVay, you've got like a 50% chance of getting a head coaching job.
People are going to be like, oh, wow, you must be a genius like him, right?
Did he cough on you? Yeah. Did you French kiss with him at lunch? did he transmit his offensive prowess to you via saliva on you?
The whole thing about like with
Matt. Jonesy looked appalled that I said French kiss. I'm joking around, Jonesy. It's all good.
French kiss, you don't have to dump that, Jonesy. Yeah. French kissing is okay. I can talk about
even
French
between
kissing.
Two men. Matt LaFleur, 2019.
Well, like Matt LaFleur, I feel like Matt LaFleur, for one, he's getting this like, oh, wow, he knew McVay, and he kind of knows McVay, but then he had 1 year as an offensive coordinator in Tennessee where he did nothing for anybody.
Right.
And then somehow uses that as a springboard. It's almost like they're just checking off the box, and it doesn't matter what you actually do. Because Vrabel did the same thing. He didn't actually have a good year as a coordinator.
He did not.
But because he did it, like, hey, now you're a head coach.
PR, baby.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.